may be seated. We are now in the second week of a three-week-long sermon series looking at the book of Hebrews. Last week, if you were here and you remember that we went over some of the great leaps of faith that our ancestors made. Specifically, we looked at the stories of Noah and Abraham and Moses. And this week, we pick up right after chapter 11 ends. We are in the first two verses of Hebrews chapter 12. And so this is after all of this recounting of all these great acts of faith has been made. This is where we pick up for this morning. So it's Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So after this, the writer of Hebrews reminds us of these great acts of faith that we covered in last week's sermon. The writer then points us to the best and the finest example of faith, and that is Jesus the Christ. But as the writer does that, the writer also tells us a few things that we need to do before we actually look to Jesus as our example. Did you catch those two things? The first, the writer tells us that we need to lay aside every weight and the sin that we cling so closely to. Now, for those who remember last week, do you remember the story that I finished with and closed with, the story of the man on the cliff? How he's just hanging there, holding on, dangling, when instead of letting go, right? Now, a few people actually, as you were going out of the sanctuary, was like, well, what happens? How does that story end? What happens to the man on the cliff? Does he let go, or is he just hanging there? And I had to tell them, like, that story is intentionally left unfinished. Because so often we need to put ourselves in that man's shoes. Because so often we find ourselves in that same situation where we're holding on to something that we need to let go. That we're being weighed down by something, or something is preventing us from truly following after Jesus. And so the writer is reminding us that before we look to Jesus as our example, the perfect example of our faith, as the pioneer and perfecter of faith, we first need to lay all those things aside, and we first need to let go. So what is it that you're still holding on to? Are you still like the man on the cliff from last week? Is your story left unfinished? Are you still hanging on? As the writer of Hebrews reminds us to really follow Jesus, we can't be hanging on the side of a cliff. We have to be walking in his footsteps. Now the second thing he tells us to do after we put aside everything that weighs us down and all those things that we're holding on to, he tells us to run with perseverance the race that is set before us. And if you remember last week, I mentioned that the writer of Hebrews was writing to a community that was in distress, that was undergoing trials, and that was losing its hope. You know, they needed this message, this reminder of perseverance, because the race that was set before them had a lot of hardships and trials in it. And they needed this reminder of perseverance to keep on going. They needed the reminder of all those great acts of faith that were listed in the 12th chapter, so that they could make those great leaps of faith in their race. And now, while I didn't really exactly plan this uh, to to this racing metaphor to line up with the Olympics, I think it was just perfect timing, right? Because in the Olympics, perseverance is the name of the game, right? I mean, usually that's the person who's winning the gold medal or is in one of the medals. The ones that have the most perseverance for either the race or the event that they're in, they're usually the ones that win. And there have been tons of stories of perseverance. There's been great stories of athletes in the Olympics this year. And one that I'm going to point out is one that I watched live, and it was the men's 10,000 meter race. Has anybody else watched that in track and field? It's actually the longest event in track and field that takes place on the track, and it's 10,000 meters. And Mo Farah from Great Britain won the event. And actually for the second time in a row, he won it in London as well. And it's the longest track race minus the marathon. And so in the event, and then also he, even though he was the heavy favorite, do you remember that he fell during about 10 minutes into the race? He actually fell down. For me, that would have been it. I just would have said, never mind. Because I know how falling on one of those tracks hurts. I mean, you get all skinned up. But he got back up, and then he actually persevered and won the race. And so, while there are a ton of examples in the Olympics of running a race with perseverance, we each actually have our own races that we need to run with perseverance. So what are those things that God has put before us? What's the path? What's the race that is set before us that we need some perseverance to get through? You see, before he ever points us to Jesus, the writer says we have to let go of those things and we have to set forth on our race before we could ever actually look to Jesus as the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. And now that we have been reminded of those two things, that is when the writer of Hebrews points us to Jesus. He says, now run this race with perseverance, looking to Jesus as the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. And now I want us to take a brief moment and look at these two words and what they mean for us. That Jesus is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Now if we keep this racing image before us, and also knowing that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, and he's been called the beginning and the end, when you kind of look into the Greek that's behind these two words, that's kind of what it means. These words kind of actually mean that Jesus is kind of like the first to set off, the first to get off the blocks. He's the one that starts everything. But Jesus also, being the perfecter, is the first to finish. He's the one that has completed the race. And in Jesus' terms, it's the perfect finish. Now, however, that's kind of what you do when you draw deep into the Greek, but they also choose the English words for specific and important reasons. And so I want us to take a look at these two words and what they mean for us today. Okay, so the first is a pioneer. The word pioneer, especially in our American heritage, are the people that go off into the unknown, right? They go off into the uncharted places. They're kind of the explorers. They're the ones that take those leaps of faith to, in our case, they were the ones that went west, right? To the unknown, and they left their towns and their homes, of their places of comfort, and they went off into the unknown. And so in what ways do we need to be like these pioneers in our faith? In what ways do we need to go into the uncharted, to the unknown, and do new things? You see, we just can't follow Jesus staying in our comfortable places. We have to be stretched and we have to be made uncomfortable sometimes and go off into the unknown and really in order to really follow Jesus. Now, for the word perfecter, I think all of us probably know a perfectionist or would admit to somebody who is a perfectionist, right? I'm kind of one. It's a person who is just constantly trying to make things better, isn't it? It's somebody who works and tinkers with something until in their eyes it's made perfect. And in our Wesleyan heritage, this is a perfect example of what it means to be in the sanctification process. That grace that John Wesley believed comes from God and makes us more like Jesus. That's a continual process throughout our lives. And so to think of how Jesus is pointing us to a faith where the word perfecter is in mind, what in our faith life needs worked on? What parts need to be continually shaped and molded to be more like Jesus? And so this is the message that I want to leave you with this morning, is that we are left with the example of Jesus, who is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. But for those of us, for our church today, for our own individual faith lives and for our faith journeys as a community, think about those places that we haven't gone yet that we need to go. And I'm not just talking about geographically. What is the new areas of our faith that are uncharted that we need to jump into to make that leap of faith and to go in and explore? And on the other hand, what are those places that we already know about? What are the parts of our faith life that we need to make more perfect? To work on, to get a little bit of that perfectionist in us. And then also, to quote John Wesley, what's that spot that we need, that sanctifying grace of God to just pour over us? So think about those two things. Think about those ways that we can truly follow Jesus, who is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. And so may we be true people of faith, and may we be true followers of Christ, and may we be following in His example as pioneers and perfecters of the faith. Amen.